B-Pod Studios.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Yeah. East Point. Smoke some dank. Call it ball in the eye. The hater. Old National got the skanks. Everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's the M.I. Cricket letter. Ain't no one better.
98.5, the Sports Over Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer from MMQB is here. He'll
upset
for the hour. But he's going to a funeral and he's got like white slacks. He's like dressed for Nantucket.
It's a springtime funeral.
Very Ackish, yes.
Am I on now?
Yeah.
Okay,
you're
I can't
on.
Hear myself. I'm only dressed this way because I had to get dressed at like 5 a.m. So I'm just like, you know, like because I knew I had to come in here. And
sure.
Like, and you guys know, like, you always think you gave yourself enough time, but you never really do.
Right.
And it's just like, what can I find that I can throw on real quick? So that's why I'm dressed.
So like everyone's going to be grieving in all black, and then Bert's going to come in like it's a Sunday brunch. Yeah. So good for you. completely embarrass yourself.
Appreciate your condolences.
All right, but Bert, I will say this. Is since we have had you on last Friday, my whole perception of the NFL has changed because I'm looking at free agency and I'm saying none of this matters. Okay.
What do you mean?
In that...
You're talking about with the wide receivers, none of this matters.
No, just except for offensive and defensive lines, I don't know if any of this matters because we went through all of that, especially wide receivers.
Oh, you're talking about like all the hoopla over like Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham.
What's your stat about people who've won the Super Bowl teams with
all right,
these?
So like, listen, this is one thing I figured out like the other day, and I was going to tweet this, and I didn't get the chance to really, but I thought it was interesting. Do you guys know like how many Hall of Fame receivers have won Super Bowls in the last 20 years?
How many Hall of Fame have won in the last 20 years?
Ooh. Right. And I'm even projecting ahead like guys who will get in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
I think the way he set it up, the answer is none, right?
One.
Yeah.
And who would that be?
Marvin Harrison.
Okay. Okay.
But if you look at it, I mean, it really goes back to the 90s Cowboys, right? Because they had Irvin. The Niners had Jerry Rice. After that, you had the Packers who had like Antonio Freeman and who was the other guy? Brooks, right?
Sure.
You had the Broncos who had McCaffrey and Rod Smith. You had the Rams who Isaac Bruce hasn't gotten in, right? Like Torrey Holt. Then, you know, the Patriots teams, obviously, after that, the Buccaneers, the Ravens. Look, I'm not saying you can't win with one, but the idea that it's a necessity, the idea that the Giants are like blowing up their franchise by getting rid of Odell Beckham.
That was a good move, right?
I don't understand like why it's weird because, and maybe it's fantasy football. That's what I have to think, right? Like that's like why people pay so much attention to these moves. It's like where do you get the impression that you like can't win a Super Bowl without like a number one?
And maybe you're right. I know there's been a bunch that have gotten close. I mean, obviously Randy Moss, Julio Jones.
My whole point is not that you can't win with one.
Yeah.
It's the idea that you can't win without one is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So did you like that move for the Giants? Because I did.
I thought it was too. Here's the thing. They're not winning anything in the next 2 or 3 years.
Right.
I mean, and I think, like, really internally, and I know the Golden Tate move and the Kevin Zeitler move kind of flies in the face of this, but...
Yeah, the Golden Tate thing was weird.
It was weird, but you got to spend your money. You got to spend your money
somewhere. They paid him a lot.
No, they paid him 10 a year. I mean, almost 10 a year.
Yeah.
But you got to spend your money somewhere, I guess. And, I mean, if you're going to have a rookie quarterback this year or next year, you know, you have a veteran guy to throw to, fine. Like, that's not the same as having Odell Beckham on your roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, if I'm them, and I think you saw this in the middle of last year, of course what they're doing now doesn't, and trading Odell Beckham doesn't match what they've done the last couple of off seasons. If you go back to November and you see what John Mara actually said, like, go back and read the quote. He said, this is not going to happen overnight. Forever, they were lying to themselves about how close they were, right? Like, they were acting aggressively in free agency.
Yeah.
They were acting like they were in this win-now spot because of this fluke year in 2016. I think now they're finally, like, come to grips with the fact we're not close. We're going to, like, we have to blow this thing up. And if you're blowing, let's just assume they're blowing the whole thing up, right? What good does it do you to have Odell Beckham?
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, what good does that do you?
Well, no. Okay. So with the wide receivers, though, another.
I mean, because like here, one quick thing. Like, is that the guy that you want? Like all these young guys coming in?
Hell no.
Like,
no.
Is that the guy you
Hell
want? Like all.
No.
If you're gonna have a bunch of 22 and 23 year olds in the building over the next 2 years that you want to build around, and you're bringing in draft capital, and you're doing everything you can to kind of turn the page and go young, like. You guys know this as well as I do. How do they keep scoring in the locker room? They keep scoring in the locker room, but who's making the most money, right?
Sure.
And so everybody's going to follow what that guy does. Like, do you want, like, all your young guys coming in and seeing that that is the example
he
of how to do it?
He was nuts to begin with. The contract didn't change him at all. It didn't make him right. more mature. Mm-hmm. He was still the same guy who's crazy.
I think receivers are a finishing piece. Like, receivers are, like, the last piece you get. Like, receivers are, like, the Rams go and get Brandon Cooks. Well, they've already got everything built up. like everything's right. sort of built up. You
sure.
know? When the Patriots brought in Randy Moss, they were well established. Like I sort of feel like receivers are sort like you want to build up your lines. You want to obviously have your quarterback. Receivers are sort of like the last piece, and they can really help. Like there's no question. I mean, look at what the Patriots did in 2007. They, like it can make you better. I'm not saying that, but like the idea that like the Giants are like just completely like nuts to do. I don't get that. Like I don't think it's crazy if. You are truly going to rebuild. I don't think it's crazy to trade him.
Yeah.
Because what good does he do?
And they got a big return.
If you're 3-13, right. what good does he do?
So why were you – okay, so why did so many wide receivers back out? I don't want to say back out, but there were like three big names that the Patriots seemed to be in on. Golden Tate was one, obviously Adam Humphries, and yeah. there was a third one. Who's the third one I'm missing? There was another receiver.
Jameson Crowder?
Yeah. So the Patriots were reportedly in on, yet – they went somewhere
Beasley.
Else.
Beasley. Beasley's the guy you're thinking
is it,
of.
Is it Beasley?
Okay. Beasley chose Buffalo Beasley, yeah. over
That's
New
right. It was Beasley.
Well, I think this is where the Patriots have always been able to find like an inefficiency. Like other teams didn't value slots like they valued slots, right? Like so that's why you get Welker at $3 million a year for all of those years. That's why you still have Edelman at $5.5 million a year because other teams didn't value slot receivers the same way the Patriots valued slot receivers. So if there's not competition for those players, mm-hmm. well, then it's, you know, you're going to be able to get them at a cut rate. Now you've got more teams that are out there looking for slots. And some of the teams that are out there looking for slots are guys who are from here. Brian Daboll in Buffalo, right? Like
sure.
they pay for Cole Beasley, Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. They pay for Adam Humphries. Adam Gase worked with Josh McDaniels in Denver. They pay for Jameson Crowder. So now all of a sudden you've got like competition for this sort of player.
Yeah.
Makes it harder for the Patriots to go and get those kinds of guys because there are more people looking for them. I think like in the case of Adam Humphries, the weird thing about that one was like you heard that the Patriots came in on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
He'd already committed on Monday. Good on the kid for sticking to his word. Right.
Well, he looked. He ended up looking good from it.
That was the whole thing. Like, I mean, and we saw what happened with Anthony Barr with the Jets. Like, and look, I think that's what I'm not going to begrudge anybody changing their mind because that's what the tampering period is there for. So guys don't have to make decisions in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the kid just, I guess that's on the Patriots, right?
Yeah,
like, that's
they didn't
on the
get
Patriots.
Their first.
That no. they didn't put in their best offer. They didn't put their best foot forward. When the thing was still alive, and then they try to circle back the next day. Well, wait,
the money was more, right? The Patriots, according to reports, offered more money for Adam Humphries.
They were willing to go into that neighborhood, yeah.
But they're just adding depth. I mean, that just seems
like so close to the Humphries.
I think that's more than depth. I think that's...
He's the guy.
That's getting younger. That's Edelman's
not Humphries, but what they're currently doing... Is
oh, with the, you mean like Marquise Harris?
Yeah, is they're just adding depth.
That's all they can do. How close they are to the cap, they're signing all these guys. Well, they have no money,
but
right?
But we talked about this on last Friday, is that the Patriots are successful because they just add depth.
Right.
And then if someone goes down, they have a respectable backup. Yeah,
that's
a backup that can be there.
Yeah, and I don't think... Look, they have to get younger at that position, though. I mean, like Hogan was over 30, and he's probably – I mean, he may be back, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Edelman is 32, I think, turning 33 in May. And then what else they have? Like, nothing, you know? And so they have to
– Draft in the middle rounds. You got a ton of picks.
They have to – well, they haven't been great at that. Like, they
no,
have,
they've been bad. Wide receivers specifically, they've been awful at
it. I'm aware of that.
I mean, it's weird, but you know what's interesting, John? Someone pointed this out to me, and I don't know what it is, but the further you get away from the ball, the worse the Patriots are at drafting. Like they've struck out on a lot of corners. They've done okay at safety, but they've struck out on a lot of corners. They've struck out on a lot of receivers.
Yeah.
They've done really well. They've been pretty good on the lines. Yeah, right?
Very good on the lines.
Like, so you get away. You like the further you get away from the ball, the worse the Patriots are at drafting, which is kind of an interesting thing that's hard to explain.
All right. Well, now you got me thinking that none of this matters.
And now you got me feeling insecure about the way I'm dressed. Thank you,
Well, you're dressed for a funeral, and you look like it's like a nice summer's day.
And it's in Nantucket for the weekend.
Well, yeah, you look like you're going to brunch on Easter.
Stop by my parents' house and see my dad can lend me a new pair of pants or something.
By the way, I think the Jets dodged a bullet with that Anthony Barr thing. I mean, if they were going to go C.J. Mosley and Anthony Barr, that was...
I didn't mind that. You know why? Like, real quick, the one thing I didn't mind about the Jets did... is if you look at outside of Bell, and I think Bell was more ownership driven, but the other three guys, Crowder, Barr, Mosley, one thing you want to watch with these guys, are their original teams trying to bring them back?
Yeah.
And in all three cases, the Ravens really tried to get Mosley back. The Redskins made an $8 million offer to Crowder, and obviously the Vikings wanted Barr back. So that's the one thing I don't mind about the Jets' moves. Is that their original teams made a real hard effort to try to get him back. Sure. But they did overpay. There's no question about that.
Well, they did overpay. And then, I mean, if you have the third pick in the draft and you keep it, I mean, you're going to be able to get a guy that can get to the quarterback. All right. Bert Pereira is here from MMQB, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge murderers. Tomorrow comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got...
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We have Bert Breer from MMQB, who's very concerned that he's underdressed now for his funeral.
Planted seed. He's going to be thinking about it all day.
No. We worked it out in the break. I got a dark jacket, so I'm cool.
Yeah, if he has a dark jacket, I think that he's okay.
All right.
But he's wearing white. Like, are those linen pants?
They're not linen. They're just normal khakis.
Okay, well.
Off-white with a white shirt.
How well do you know the person that's whose
funeral?
Pretty
well. Well, I mean, it's like a high school friend, so.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So taken like, too young. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, there's a lot of talk of Le'Veon Bell screwing himself, that, you know, if he would have taken the original Pittsburgh contract, that he would be making more money. Okay, did he really hurt himself financially? Because I can never understand these contracts. And if so...
No question.
Okay, and why?
Because, it's that position, all right? That position, you just don't have much shelf life. And I think you have to strike when the iron's hot. It's why if Ezekiel Elliott is smart, he'll hold out this offseason. Because running backs, when you get into year four, year five, like the clock is really ticking. And Bell turned down a deal after 3 years, turned down a deal after 4 years, played on the tag, and then went into his fifth year. And the Steelers offered him a deal that, and I'll bring it up right now. I mean, the comparison, 19.5 in the first year, $33 million over 2 years, which is 16.5 over the first two. And that's what really matters, because that's the money you're pretty much assured of getting. No matter what's actually fully guaranteed, they're probably not cutting him after year one after they pay him almost $20 million, right?
Right.
So 33 over 2 and then 45 over 3. So the Jets deal that he signed, which the Jets pretty much held firm. They moved some money around at the end, but they made the offer and no one else came close to it, right? 14.5 in the first year, that's $5 million less than he would have made from the Steelers in year one. And he'd be getting, and remember, like with the Steelers, he'd already have this money. Like that money would already be in the bank. So through year two, the Jets gave him 26, so that's seven less than he would have gotten in Pittsburgh. So, right, and if you want to, like, really look at this, now he'd be, like, right, if like a year from now, he'd be almost $20 million behind where he would be if he had taken the Steelers offer, because obviously there's the year off. And then 45 over 3 was the Steelers, like I said, 39.5 with the Jets, which you're not assured of that money, but you're still at that point $5.5 million behind. So the guy bet on himself. I think in a lot of cases, players can benefit from just these wildcat strikes.
Right.
Antonio Brown absolutely did. He crushed it, right?
Yeah.
I think you make the same argument for Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas, he stood his ground. He fought, and, like, he did really well, you know, when he get to the open market. Running backs are different. And I think Le'Veon Bell's biggest problem was trying to yell from the mountaintops, I'm different. I'm versatile. I'm like a receiver. I should be paid like a receiver. And then last year he looked at it and it's like Sammy Watkins gets $16 million per and Allen Robinson gets $14 million per. And he's like, shoot, I'm better than those guys. And he's right. But that doesn't change the fact that you're a running back.
Right.
Like, that doesn't change the fact that, like, history shows us that you're going to fall off a cliff soon. And that doesn't – that's, like, just because it's not, like teams aren't going to look at, like, give you back pay for how good you were. They're going to look at, like, well, how does this project forward? And unfortunately for Le'Veon Bell, the history at his position is such where, like, how many guys have we seen go switch teams, sign big blockbuster deals at that position – and you look at it 3 or 4 years down the line, you say that was really smart. There are very few, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It almost never happens.
So when, if you're a team, do you ever draft a running back in the first round?
Yes. Like, I don't mind doing it. And I remember talking to Stephen Jones about this before they drafted Zeke. Okay? I don't think it's the wisest move of a high pick, but I can understand if you feel like you're close to, like, winning it all and you happen to have a high pick, I can see why you would do it. Here's why. You get the prime of the kid's career on a rookie deal, right? So when the Cowboys drafted Zeke, they are getting the prime of his career at about like $6 or $7 million per. He's won 2 rushing titles in 3 years.
Right.
Like, that is unequivocally good value, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't mind it. Like, if you're far away. Now, I think the Giants made a mistake because the Giants weren't close.
Yeah, and they needed a quarterback.
And the Giants were lying to themselves that they felt like they were a lot closer. Like oh, we are close. We were in the playoffs. You weren't close. Your roster's broken. So I think the Giants made a mistake because they weren't close. And I think it's foolish to take one that high if you're not close. But if you are close, like, I don't mind it because you do get the prime of the guy's career, like on that rookie contract.
All right, Kansas City had, I guess, the best. I mean, you could take one or the other, but Kansas City had the best pass rush in the league last year.
Right.
And now things look really – they made it to the AFC Championship game. They let Justin Houston go. Franchise D Ford then traded him.
Yep.
So where is the pass rush this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's – there are two parts to this. I think one is there's a little bit of, like, a contractual crunch there, where they have to, like, so this offseason, they've got to look at paying Tyreek Hill, who's going to be expensive, right? And they're not going to let him go. And they're looking at having to pay Chris Jones, who they saw as a better player than D Ford, right? So really, this didn't come down to Justin Houston and D Ford, because Justin Houston is sort of moving into disrepair.
He's still out there, right?
And he just wasn't worth the money that he was. Like,
but he's still sitting out there.
Is that because of injuries?
It's injury. He's broken down. Yeah, and so, like, okay, at this point, like, it's... I mean, look, the fact that he's still sitting out there, Wallace,
should tell you something.
Should tell you that they made the right decision on him. Really, this came down to Ford and Jones. And Chris Jones had, I think, was 13 sacks, like, from an interior position, which is a bananas
number. Patriots had one of those guys in, what, yesterday? Right.
And so like, you look at him, you look at Jones, and, Allen Bailey was
Allen Bailey is another guy.
Yep.
Right.
So Chris Jones, like, you look at Chris Jones and D Ford, and the way that they looked at it was, Chris Jones is a full-time player. D Ford's a situational player. If we've got to decide between the two, like, let's try and sign Chris Jones to a long-term deal, and let's see if we can get a return for D Ford. And so, like, that was sort of the decision-making process, because they do have a lot of contracts. Don't forget, in a year, the big one's coming, right? Like, in a year, like, how much are you going to have to pay a guy who is the MVP of the league in year two? Like, Patrick Mahomes, like, legitimately could wind up getting a deal worth $40 million a year.
Right.
And so, like, there's a bunch of different things that they were dealing with. The second piece of this, I'm sensing a little copycatting of the Patriots out there. Like, I think that there's a little copycatting. If you look at what the Chiefs did and what the Ravens did, two really good franchises, right? Look at where the Patriots investment. We talked about this all year. Like, they're investing in the secondary, right? And I think their approach has sort of been like, we can get it done with guys up front. They're not paying Trey Flowers, right?
Right.
But they are paying Stephon Gilmore. They are paying Devin McCourty. What'd you see the Ravens and Chiefs do? Well, the Ravens let Terrell Suggs go, let Za'Darius Smith go, let C.J. Mosley walk, let Eric Weddle, who's a little bit of a more of a box safety, walk. They sign Earl Thomas, right? The Chiefs cut Justin Houston, trade D Ford, sign Tyrann Mathieu. So I think there was a little bit of, in the 21st century NFL, can you get by throwing numbers into your front seven, like just having a lot of good players rather than great players? and then being really outstanding on the back end, because really what you've got to do in today's
stop
NFL is
pass.
Cover.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, so I thought it was, I'm still trying to drill down whether that's exactly what they were thinking, but it was just a trend thing that I noticed over the last couple of days where it looked like the Chiefs and Ravens were sort of going to what the Patriots have done the last couple of years.
All right. Now, is Kansas City as good this year as they were last year?
I mean, if they've got a lot of ascending players, like, so Tyreek Hill should be a year better, right? Like, Patrick Mahomes, as good as he was last year, should be a year better. Chris Jones is an ascending player. They've got a group of rookies that they really, from last year, like Breeland Speaks and O'Daniel and Dorian O'Daniel and these guys you haven't heard of, but like Derek Nnadi, they're the young players they really like. So on paper, they should get a little bit better. I also think hiring Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator is an upgrade. So,
because a lot of people, first of all, ESPN doesn't like any move that anyone made. But
that's true.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't like everything's a D.
You're looking at the Insider or whatever that was that you
plus,
guys were talking
plus,
about.
The plus.
It used to be the Insider.
Now it's the plus. Right.
Yeah, you know, I'm wheeling deal
and dealing. And screw the magazine, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's an unreasonable magazine. It's an unreasonable magazine.
I heard you guys on the way.
Yeah. All right. So they're giving crap to Steve Spagnuolo, saying that he's forcing this defense and he's forcing the personnel to match up with his defense as if that was a negative.
You mean like that's why they traded D Ford?
Yes. Is that they're trying to match his philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, I think look, they saw D Ford as a situational player in Steve Spagnuolo's defense. I also think that there were some questions in that building about whether or not D Ford's huge year had to do with the fact that he was playing for a contract.
Right.
And that he's been inconsistent in the past, and if you pay him, is he the kind of guy who might kick his feet up a little bit? Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of that concern. Like you heard, and I didn't, and it wasn't just the Chiefs. You heard other teams. Like when I'm calling around asking, like, how's this guy going to get paid? How's that guy going to get paid? All that. There was a little question with D Ford about whether or not, and it's funny because it's the guy who was offsides, right? But like there was a little question about whether or not like his consistent effort was going to be there after he got paid.
Right. Well, it's always.
I think the Chiefs have been a pretty well-run organization over the course of the last 5-6 years. And I do think that, like, you look at some of what they've, like, this offseason on the defensive side of the ball for them was about cleaning up some contracts where the reason John Dorsey got fired was because of the Eric Berry and Justin Houston contracts. And now they're sort of cleaning that up. And it wasn't that those guys weren't good players. It was that they franchised those guys, they like kind of like hardlined those guys, and they wound up having to way overpay for them. And then they were in a situation where they couldn't put as much around them as they wanted to put around them because they'd paid so much as a result of the negotiation. All right. So that was a part of the reason why Dorsey wound up getting fired and now is kicking ass in Cleveland.
Yeah. All right. They can't lose.
You see lots of big money in Cleveland now too, right?
Oh yeah.
Lots of big money in Cleveland.
Oh yeah. They're
contracts aren't a problem there now.
Oh, they've added so much. It's the best receiving core, they can't lose. All right.
They won Twitter, no question about that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. they got Odell Beckham, they can't lose. All right. we have the
Odell Beckham was great in the playoffs last year.
Well, listen, he's a fantastic, fantastic man. All right, so we'll have the headlines. 617-779-0985. Burt Breer in studio from MMQB.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Who you are.
Available at 985thesportshub.com, epodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 985 The Sports Hub.
Whatever you want.
Can't love.
I
was just figuring out what song this is. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer is in studio from MMQB, and we were talking off the air. Hang on real quick. Okay. Is that we're going to talk about all the – we've talked about this off the air. We're going to talk about the people that the players that the Patriots picked up. But the Patriots picked up two people from the Jets, and everyone knows I'm a Jets fan, that I literally never heard of.
I watch a lot of football during the regular season, and after reading who the Patriots got yesterday, I realized I don't watch enough football.
I've heard of one guy, Ellington. Ellington's the only guy.
I Googled everyone. All the names that came through, I had to figure out, all right, what was their deal?
You know what's funny is, there's always these guys that, you only hear about them in March. You don't hear about them during the season.
Sure, that's right. One of them is the safety for the Jets.
I got a text group with some other reporters, and there was a couple of guys out there that are we call them Mr. March, right?
Yeah.
And it's you hear about them in March a lot because they've got a loudmouth agent who's leaking stuff to everybody. So you hear about the guy in March, and then it gets to the season, it's you never hear about him, and then you hear about
Patriots
him
the just signed half a dozen of those guys.
Right. Yeah. Right. So let's just quickly, and I don't want to spend too much time on each one of these guys because I don't think they really justifies it. But let's first go with the dude who's got part of his hamstring surgically
Ellington,
been removed.
Right? Is that Ellington?
Bruce Ellington. So he got a 1-year deal. He's 27, 31 receptions, 224 yards, one touchdown between the Lions and the Texans last year. Is there anything else we need to know about this guy?
He was actually I think he had some injury issues, but at one point with the Niners, he was considered sort of a guy who had some high end potential,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't play out that way. Obviously,
he's missing part of his hamstring.
So his brother, I believe, is Andre Ellington, who was the running back for the Cardinals for
a couple of years. Also a master chef.
Yeah, so that's what I know about Bruce Ellington. He was at one point considered this is a good pick by the Niners,
okay.
and they thought he had some potential, and yeah, he had some injuries, and that's why he's as cheap as he can.
All right, now let's get the juices flowing. Maurice Harris.
Yeah, I can't help you out.
Okay.
And this is a guy who covers the NFL for a living.
I mean, good. Where this is making me feel better about my lack of knowledge of these players.
Redskins.
I feel like Jay Gruden mentioned him to me once. 3 years ago, hey, who's doing well here at minicamp? And it's there's this Maurice Harris kid who's okay.
All right, he's 26, tally 28 receptions, 304 yards, zero touchdowns to the Redskins. Still not hot enough for you. Let's go with Matt Lacoste.
I read up on him. The Denver Post said he had a breakout year last year for the Broncos.
Doesn't that sound like a long stick midfielder for Johns Hopkins? Or
yeah, exactly.
So he was with the Broncos last year. 24 receptions, 250 yards, one touchdown. That's for a guy whose name makes you go, huh? It's a fairly substantial deal. 2 years and up to $4.8 million.
Are these all special teams guys?
No, this guy Lacoste apparently is going to be the backup. He replaces Dwayne Allen.
Okay.
He's going to be.
He's the heir apparent.
Yes, from what we hear. All right, and now let's talk about Mike Pennell, who is the Jets DL. So what do we?
I will say this. I've never heard of him.
I feel like the Patriots had him in for a visit before. Was he on the Packers? I'm not looking at Wikipedia. He was on the Packers?
No, Jets.
Before that?
Oh, before that? Oh, I don't know.
I'll have to look.
I feel like the Patriots may have had him in for a visit previously when he was a free agent. So
you're saying that none of these people are moving. There's no diamond in the rough that you're seeing here. Wow.
All right.
Maybe the Patriots got
something.
Good
call
here.
By this man. 3 years with the Packers before 2 years with the Jets. Very impressive.
Yeah. But I think the Patriots may have had him when he signed with the Jets. The Patriots may have had him in for a visit or something.
Okay.
Like that.
So are they swinging for a big name receiver? Because it sounds like once again they were in on those three that we mentioned earlier.
I think they know they have to get younger. One, right? And that may happen in the draft. And again, their history in the draft is sketchy when it comes to receivers. I'm not sure we're done with big name receivers getting traded.
Really?
So I'm not sure.
What names are you hearing?
So you've heard Antonio Brown, obviously, you heard that name for however long, going back to December. Odell Beckham's name's been bandied about as a trade piece for a year now before it actually happened. I think part of I can just tell you, the Browns are an example of this. The Browns got to their free agent meetings in December, and the Browns sat down and they looked at the draft class and they looked at the free agent class and they said, there's not a lot of options to get a lot better at that position here. So we need to think creatively and outside the box. And that's where the Beckham thing came from. Like, that's where the Beckham thing was hatched, was in that free agent meeting in December. They are not the only team by a long shot that had that discussion, that is trying to think creatively, that looked at what the Rams did last year, what the Eagles have done in the last few years, and trading for veteran players.
Yeah.
And flipping picks to go and get young number one type players in. And so I think the Falcons are going to be fielding phone calls on Julio Jones.
Wow.
I think the Bengals are going to be fielding phone calls on AJ Green. That doesn't mean they're initiating the contact.
Sure.
But I do think that teams will be calling those teams about those players, where those phone calls may not have happened in the past because it was just such a non-starter. Now teams are, I think, getting a little bit more aggressive about this sort of thing because the climate in the NFL has changed, right? And so Julio is really interesting to me because, like, I think Antonio Brown, like, opened this new lever for players, right? Like, and whether it was intentional or not, like he's crazy, right? Like, so
sure.
Like, I don't know how much of that was actually intentional. I actually think the blonde mustache might have been a tactic to make the Steelers think he was really, really crazy.
Yeah.
I think the lever here for players that Antonio Brown like opens up now. Say you're a player and you get to the end of the guaranteed money in your contract. That's where Brown was, right? 18, he had some guaranteed money left. 19, into the non-guaranteed part of your contract. Well, you're probably starting to feel a little uncomfortable at that point. You're like, if I have a bad injury or whatever, I could be gone.
Yeah.
So I want to find a way to take care of myself here, take care of my future, maybe get a raise, right? How do I do that? Well, you can't. It's hard to go back to the team that you signed the contract with because, all right, you already gave me the guaranteed money and now you're getting the benefit of giving me the guaranteed money on the back end. It's hard to ask a team that already gave you the guaranteed money, hey, just give me more for no reason.
Right?
It's hard to do that. Well, what's the answer then? Force a trade and then say to the new team, I'm not reporting unless you give me a new contract. Like, that to me is the lever that Antonio Brown may have opened for players now. Now, you have to be a star for it to work.
Is Julio Jones the type of guy that would do that?
Now, Julio's not going to cause a stink, right? Like, Julio's not going to, like, raise hell because he's so quiet. You won't hear from him if he does something like this. But he held out last year. And he held out last year with 3 years left on his contract.
Yeah, you're right.
And he wound up getting a bump. And the Falcons promised him, we're going to take care of you. And the market keeps changing. So Antonio Brown gets a revision to his contract. So there's precedent for Julio doing something, right? And if you want to talk about the market as far as just non-quarterbacks in general go, Khalil Mack got $23.5 million and Aaron Donald got $22.5 million. And so if you're Julio Jones right now, and I think he's on the doorstep of 30. I'm going to look at this real quick. He's 30 years old. He's just turned 30. You're Julio Jones. No more guaranteed money left on your contract.
I wouldn't give up much for him. And by the way, Darnold and Khalil Mack are guys we discussed as being two non-quarterbacks.
Donald, I said Darnold. Donald.
Donald, sorry.
Aaron Donald. Donald. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just saying, like if you're Julio Jones, though, like, do you press that button?
If you're AJ
Green.
You
know why I said Darnold? Because I was thinking about the cream of the crop. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Burt Breer.
Podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
It's definitely my understanding. That was that was something that I was weighing the options between both teams, and it was tough. Obviously they have a lot of success with guys similar to me, and obviously everything I've said to you guys today about why I chose here is true, and I'm excited to work with this team and hopefully propel them to some wins and a playoff run.
Handshake deal is a handshake deal, but nothing was official until you signed it. You could have changed your mind. Was there temptation?
Yeah, I mean, when I committed to Tennessee, I was, obviously I'm a man of my word. I'm gonna keep my word there. But, it's tough. It's a big decision, and, it's a decision that, will impact me for the rest of my life. So, obviously took a lot of thought into that. Having family around me was good. But once I committed to Tennessee, I was really excited to be a Titan, and still am.
That is the best line. It with Adam Humphries.
Yeah, white slot receiver.
They like guys that look like me with the Patriots. Well, yeah.
White, undrafted. Yeah, right?
5'11".
Diamonds in the rough. The only thing better is if he was an option quarterback at a small school. Then they really would have hit the lottery.
Oh, that was great. And you know what, though? I mean, that press conference right there, and I don't know how much more money the Patriots were offering, and I don't even know how much of it was guaranteed, and all that stuff could be different. But, I mean, you want to talk about ingratiating yourself to the fan base. Yeah. Oh, boy. He just made you're instant fan favorite.
I am praying that the Patriots wind up with Hunter Renfrow from Clemson. You guys know about him?
Does he look the part?
Oh, like Google Hunter Renfrow.
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. Walk-on, like, was like hero in the national championship game, right?
Did he win
There have literally been, like, Patriot jokes about him for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. So if he lands in the Patriots, it would be so perfect. Like, every time he, like, scores a touchdown in a game, it's like people, you know, every time he scores a touchdown in a game on, like, a Saturday in the fall, you'll see someone on Twitter putting up that picture of, like, Belichick with the binoculars.
Right. Like. Oh, yeah. 5'10", 185 pounds.
Yep.
He is...
He's a little tall.
For the part.
Usually like some 5'9 or less. Oh,
And by the way, just this article right here, immediately I can hear Belichick going, mm-hmm. The title is, Hunter Renfrow has to prove himself again during NFL tryouts. He likes his chances. There you go, scrappy underdog. Yep. He's going to prove it to the world.
Former walk-on.
Oh, yeah.
Did he play lacrosse?
Ooh, now that would
be the other one.
You look at his name, it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call.
That is the name of a lacrosse pro.
Yeah, I don't have a question.
Hey, Hunter.
That's crease attack, baby. Go get him.
Renfrow over here.
Yo, what's up, Ren dog? Yeah.
Not just the first name, both names, right? The first name and the last name are both like...
Yeah, if you're named Hunter, definitely.
You just see him hanging out with boat shoes on the deck of a frat somewhere.
UVA attackman Hunter Renfrow.
That's great. So are you saying that now, okay, you mentioned, because I found it interesting, the whole Antonio Brown thing might lead to a trigger effect when it comes to these, like, superstar wide receivers. And you, the two that you mentioned were Green from the Bengals and also Julio Jones. Now, you're not saying that Patriots would be in on either one of them.
I just think teams are going to be acting more aggressively now. As a result, because it's like we just talked about everybody copycatting potentially what the Ravens and Chiefs are doing, copycatting the Patriots a little bit. There are other teams that are going to copycat the Rams and the Eagles, which the last couple of years, and part of that is because they had franchise quarterbacks on rookie deals. But the last couple of years, those teams have been super aggressive on the veteran market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see what the Eagles have done, like trading for Timmy Jernigan, trading for Jay Ajayi. Going and getting Alshon Jeffrey on a one-year deal when no one else... They've been super aggressive, right? The Eagles have been. And you see that with the Rams, too, like trading for Brandon Cooks, bringing in Ndamukong Suh on a one-year deal, bringing in trading for Aqib Talib. And so I think there are more teams that are going to be a little more aggressive on the veteran market. And like I said, asking about players you normally wouldn't ask about.
Okay, what would it take? A.J. Green, I wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. But what would it take to get Julio Jones? What would you have to give up?
Probably a one and something
else. Okay, so there's no way. There's no way I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's like...
you were saying the thing.
The thing is, like so on the up...
Julio Jones has the foot thing? I thought it was A.J. Green with the foot thing.
No, Julio Jones
Julio
has
a foot thing.
Oh, okay.
I think. There was a recurring foot injury.
I know he couldn't get in the end zone this year.
We talked about that. He's some reason... they wouldn't throw him in the red zone.
The lingering foot thing happened. It was a few years ago, but he's had foot issues. He's had injuries. He's banged up. Like I think with
looked
him
good 2 years ago
with him the question question is staying healthy.
Yeah.
The upside of it is you don't deal with a lot of the crap that you deal with a lot of receivers, right? Like this is a guy who's a good soldier. Who will block? Who does everything the right way?
How old is he?
Who came from Nick Saban's
30,
program?
31.
Yeah, I'm not giving.
Yeah, he's
up.
30.
I'm not giving up nearly anything in that ballpark. Well, for a 30-year-old receiver,
looks like you're getting Hunter Renfrow then.
Renfrow, I'm all in.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, do you have any inside track on who's getting Hard Knocks? Because tell me it's going to be the Raiders.
We have to look at the We have to look at like the teams that can be forced to do it.
There's six.
By the way, the Giants are one of those teams they can force.
I don't care.
All of a sudden, the Giants are part of it.
Who are the teams they can force?
Okay, so the ones that they can force are
They can force the Raiders, can't they?
The Raiders.
That's the thing. They're the leaders.
They got to be the
Detroit
Raiders.
And the Raiders are the two front runners for
me. Okay, so here's what you have with the Raiders: potentially Marshawn back, right?
I forgot about that.
You have Antonio Brown.
Yep.
Okay. You have John Gruden. You have Mike Mayock.
Oh, dude, it's the best.
You have the last year in Oakland. Right, like this is their last year.
The weirdness of Derek Carr
If you want to talk about the setting, right? Like the setting for Hard Knocks, their training camp is in Napa.
Okay,
so Mark Davis.
I mean, dude, it's the best.
I mean, they can go in the conversion van to PF Chang's with Mark Davis, right?
He's gonna have Welch's grapefruit juice all over his white sweater.
Here are the five teams: Lions, Raiders,
Lions, Raiders,
Giants, 49ers, Redskins. Those are the five.
I don't care about
those.
Those are all pretty good though.
The Lions would be interesting.
No, because
Matt Patricia.
Because they wouldn't cooperate.
He doesn't want to do it.
They wouldn't cooperate, and they've been. Quinn and Patricia have said that we're going to be super boring.
And that's why it's going to be great.
Well, no.
Because he's not going to want them there.
No, and they're not going to do anything. No, you're going to know they're not going to want them there.
The Redskins would be interesting just because of the circus.
Yeah, and because their owner is a piece
of the
owner.
Raiders are the favorite, and maybe but the Raiders, Giants, but one of those
see,
two.
With all those teams, I can pick one or two reasons why they'd be interesting.
Sure.
With the Raiders, there's like seven.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Mark Davis.
Hey, what's going on? What are you filming here? Hey, Ma. You can't do that on television. I don't know. Whoa.
You don't get slimed on this show.
What's the point?
It's not every
show. Sounds a little bit like Bob Wiley.
Bob Wiley. Where did he go?
He did.
I think Bob Wiley's out of the league. A lot of that Cleveland staff was like excommunicated from the NFL.
I bet on something that came out wrong.
Get him on TV. Like, have him do, like, why doesn't someone have him like sitting on like ESPN, like some sort of panel?
Yeah, why not?
Here we go.
This doesn't get old.
No.
Hey, 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 would you stop hard knocking on the door? I'm in here having an emergency.
Heavy breathing?
Hey, 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 stop knocking on the bathroom door. Give me 10 minutes after I flush the tea.
I think I saw you at the airport this
weekend. Hey, 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 where's the potpourri? Hey, 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 where's Lysol? Hey, 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 I'm gonna make you sick.
The room was hot when he was done with the stall this guy this weekend.
On the airplane?
It was at the airport. And I had to wait. I could hear the guy like breathing, like, but it was the only one there.
I'll just leave.
I couldn't. I had to go. And I waited. When he left, like, the room was hot.
Well, that's a Bob Wiley. I gotta stand up so I can. Looks like I gotta stand up so I can wipe.
But yes.
Too hard on the bowl.
Raiders, make it happen. Hard Knocks. It would be the best.
Need a commode.
When's the announcement?
Probably in like a couple of weeks, I would think, or like a month or so.
It'd be perfect. And you know what? Yeah. Like, they actually might cooperate because it's like Vegas is one of those places where I don't think it's automatic. Like, you turn on the lights and you're like an instant success. They're going to have to sell themselves in that market, right?
Sure.
From a business standpoint, yeah, you got two TV guys who are like camera ready, right?
Yeah.
And have been trained to do it. Like, who understand like the mechanics of everything that's going to be going on.
Antonio Brown's going to love it.
Antonio Brown will love it. Like, and I think like there's like also the business aspect of it, which is we have to sell premium seating. We have to sell suites. All this new stuff in Vegas.
It helped the Browns. I think it kind of helped the positive impression.
That's why I went to the brown pants. All right. Cover up a lot of mistakes.
Going Hollywood.
All right. Burt Breer, thank you so much. Don't fear not. You have a dark jacket. I think you'll be fine.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There will be no commercials here, just the headlines, and we will get to young Nicholas out in front of the garden last night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.